I'm Dennis O'Hare.
And I'm Rose Scott. Dennis, Monday, President Obama announced the first ever clean power plan. Now the goal, cut the carbon emissions of U.S. power plants, those yet to start operating, and any that have been modified or reconstructed. And as the Obama administration sees it, this outlines action to protect public health, reduce energy bills for households and businesses, and create American jobs, and also bring what they say clean power to communities across the country.
Over the next few years, each state will have the chance to put together its own plan for reducing emissions, because every state has a different energy mix. Some generate more of their power from renewables, some from natural gas, or nuclear, or coal. And this plan reflects the fact that not everybody's starting in the same place. So we're giving states the time and the flexibility they need to cut pollution in a way that works for them. And we'll reward the states that take action sooner instead of later, because time is not on our side here.
Now, here in Georgia, as you might expect, reaction to the president's plan was varied. In a statement from the Regional Business Coalition of Metropolitan Atlanta, RBC Chairman Mike Stevens called the EPA's plan an unprecedented attempt by EPA to set energy policy for the entire country. He added, "This rule will drive up energy costs, cause job losses, and hurt economic growth." The rule is widely expected to increase energy costs in Georgia and across the country. And for these reasons, he said, the Regional Business Coalition of Metropolitan Atlanta is calling on the EPA to delay implementation of its plan until the courts have been able to hear legal challenges.
And Dennis, from the city of Atlanta, well, Mayor Kasim Reed also released a statement. In part, Mayor Reed said, look, air pollution and climate change are everyone's problem, and we all can be part of the solution. This common sense measure will provide significant public health benefits to Atlanta residents and people across the United States.
Meanwhile, in our Closer Look studio now to talk about the EPA's final regulations, Georgia Public Service Commissioner Tim Echols, the PSC, of course, regulates utilities in the state, and Kurt Ebersbach, senior attorney at the Southern Environmental Law Center. Thanks to both of you for coming in and taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Let's start, and we'll stipulate at the beginning, all of us, including yourselves, are still digesting all of this. So we probably all don't know in detail everything we should know or will know later on. Commissioner Echols, though, let me start with you. One of the objections we heard from the beginning from members of the PSC was, look, Georgia's not going to be given time to meet these standards and is not going to be given credit for things they're already doing to reduce emissions, like developing nuclear power at Plant Vogtle. And yet the EPA regulations are going to give Georgia credit for some of that nuclear development. So isn't this really, doesn't Georgia now have the time it needs to meet these standards?
Well, we certainly are very pleased getting the full credit for the nuclear power that we're building. So that's important. That really cut the carbon number that we needed to meet down about 10%. So it was very helpful to us in being able to get a compliance plan moving. And the additional 2 years, I think, will allow a new brain trust to come together, which will be Judd Turner and his staff at the Environmental Protection Division, of course, the Public Service Commission, the cities who generate power, the EMC. So there's a large group of people that really haven't worked together before that now will have to start to work together.
Because we have heard the main objection, particularly from some of your colleagues on the commission, is that nothing about this was reasonable. Isn't this a lot more reasonable than you have been alleging it would be?
Well, we had to focus our objection, and it was agreed that the biggest change that we needed to see made to benefit our state was the nuclear power formula. So we did concentrate all our complaints there. That doesn't mean that we agreed and were lockstep in every other part of the rule. Certainly, there are many concerns that I have, and maybe we can talk about some of those today.
Kurt, I was about to initially your reaction to all of this. Obviously, folks on many environmental advocates are no fans of nuclear, but in terms of emissions, doesn't this give Georgia a better chance at complying and having cleaner air faster?
That's right. Nuclear power plants are a zero carbon source of energy generation.
And it was Georgia's principal objection that the power plants, the nuclear units under construction at Plant Vogtle, were being taken into account in the goal setting that could also be used for compliance purposes. But that did result in Georgia having a fairly large target relative to other states, and Georgia objected to that. That concession has been made by EPA. The Vogtle units are no longer taken into account in Georgia's goal setting. That's resulted in a significantly less stringent standard for Georgia, and one that's going to be easier for Georgia to meet.
I want to get your thoughts on what the Regional Business Coalition of Metropolitan Atlanta, as an organization, in the statement they put out, and the RBC chairman, Mike Stevens, saying this rule will drive up energy costs, cause job losses, and hurt economic growth, all the things opposite of what we heard the president talk about yesterday. Let me get your thoughts on that. Kurt, I'll start with you.
Well, it really depends on how Georgia responds to its carbon reduction requirement. The rule does give Georgia the flexibility to craft a plan of its own. I know the commissioners of the Public Service Commission will be working on that together with the Environmental Protection Division, as Commissioner Eccles mentioned. We appear down at the Public Service Commission and talk about plans for the future. And things like energy efficiency, which this plan encourages states to pursue, are actually cost-saving measures and could result in lower bills. The solar projects that were approved by the Public Service Commission over the last few years, it's undisputed those projects will save Georgia Power customers hundreds of millions of dollars over the life of those projects. So these renewable energy technologies, energy efficiency, these are things that can actually bring energy costs down. EPA actually had to revise its assumptions about renewable energy in the final rule because costs have dropped so much and because there have been these great technological advances that have made renewable energy more affordable. So, and that's one of the reasons you're seeing the national target has become a little bit more stringent. It's gone from 30% to 32%. Georgia's target has gone down. Nevertheless, we've made great strides as a state already on renewable energy, and we can meet this goal simply by continuing the great progress we've already made.
Commissioner Eccles, when you hear concerns about energy costs going up and job loss, and nobody wants to hear about that, and it will hurt the economic growth, do you agree with this statement from the RBC chairman?
You know, when you think about how we come up with the rates that Georgia Power charges, and folks will be able to see that transparent process next year, it's really a lot about math, that these rates are derived from the revenue needs of the company. So if they're stranding an asset, meaning they're going to close a coal plant that had 30 more years of life.
And those workers might lose
and they
jobs.
They're going to close it in three, right? So we're going to lose 27 years of life, and we're going to have to accelerate building something else that we weren't planning on that. That's going to cause us to spend more money faster, and the ratepayers will have to pay for that.
But couldn't that be considered an investment? I mean, Commissioner, one of the things that it may not be something that everybody likes to hear, but one of the things that spurs action on both the government and entrepreneurial level is a regulation that after years of resistance in some quarters, somebody finally says, look, we're going to do this. And haven't we already seen in Georgia, as Kurt Ebersbach was implying, a rate of adopting clean power that has exceeded anything we thought possible even 5 or 10 years ago? And isn't it reasonable to expect that would continue? And that might account for jobs that would make up for the loss of the coal-fired plant and the jobs that might go with that.
Let's start with your word investment. You're right. It is an investment, but Georgia Power is allowed to get recovery on any investment mm-hmm. that they make. So, yes, it's an investment, but it's really ratepayers who are paying for the investment. So in this case, it's a premature investment. And so I'm not arguing that these won't help us, that these aren't good things down the road. I'm just saying that you don't get it for free.
But aren't there costs associated with continuing to run those coal-fired plants? I mean, Georgia has had, and they've closed some of them, but Georgia has some of the most shall we say, worst offenders in terms of carbon emissions in some of its coal-fired plants.
Yeah, so we did have plants that didn't have the pollution controls on it. We closed quite a bit of those, almost 4,000 megawatts worth of those in the last 5 years. This rule will have the effect of probably closing another 4,000 megawatts of coal and closing it prematurely. Again, not saying that we wouldn't eventually have closed it, but if you what's called stranding the asset, you close it just like Germany has done with their nuclear power plants. They shut it down early, and you've got to get replacement power for it when you do that.
Kurt?
Let me point out that Vogtle is also an investment that's costing Georgia Power customers money as we speak, and it's not yet in operation. But I'm not aware of any coal plants that have 20 or 30 years left of useful life that are going to be retired in the near future. A number were retired a couple of years ago. The decision was made to retire them. Those were plants that were upwards of 50 years old. I mean, they simply had lived their useful life. They would have required very expensive pollution control retrofits to clean up our air. They simply weren't economic, and that was Georgia Power's finding, and the commission rightly approved the decertification of those units. But this clean power plant is not going to retire, I don't believe, Georgia Power's large flagship units, which are now controlled for various pollution constituents. And in fact, what EPA has done now is allow additional time for Georgia to come up with its plan, and that was specifically to address this fear of stranded assets. So Georgia will now have 7 years before it has to put its plan into action, and that will allow any of those units that the commissioner is concerned about to operate a bit longer.
And gentlemen, I want to switch to the human factor here, because we also have a statement from Reverend Otis Moss III, and he's a pastor of Trinity United Church of Christ. And he talks about, he says, this is great news for all Americans, but particularly African Americans who, as we know, disproportionately suffer negative health consequences. Now, these power plants, in his mind, says can worsen asthma and upper respiratory health ailments for individuals, and we all know about environmental injustice, if you will, if that's the term that people want to use, as relates to distressed communities, people of color, people in rural communities. So does this plan, you think, do enough in terms of lessening those issues, those concerns for those communities when it comes to the air we breathe?
Yes, absolutely. There are a number of health impacts that will result from this proposal, because when you remove the carbon from the air, you're also at the same time removing pollutants like sulfur dioxide and particulate matter that come with it and that are associated with asthma and a number of health concerns. I noted in listening to your broadcast before I came in that we have a code orange smog alert today, and that continues to be a problem in the Atlanta metropolitan region, where vulnerable people, young people and elderly people are advised not to go outdoors on a day like today. And that simply has to change. So by moving towards a cleaner and leaner energy economy for the state, we're also going to be cleaning up the air and improving the health of our citizens.
Commissioner Eccles?
You know, we started the segment with a quote from the president yesterday when he said, time is not on our side here. And I'm quoting directly from his remarks at the White House yesterday. But, you know, I think my greater concern is the nuclear waste that we have sitting at both of our sites that have been sitting there since we've been generating power, and the fact that that all across this country, nuclear waste and an obligation that the federal government made to our people is still sitting there, and that promise has not been fulfilled. And frankly, I'm more concerned about the toxicity of nuclear waste than I am of carbon dioxide that plants need to live. So I think we've got it wrong in our priority system. I think let's get this nuclear waste issue solved, and then we'll deal with carbon later.
But Commissioner, if that's the case, then why would the commission continue to vote to go ahead with Vogtle? And certainly there is the issue, as you're just mentioning, of, okay, is this nuclear waste worse than whatever the coal-powered plants are emitting? But if that's the case, why are we going ahead with this Vogtle project then?
Because we believe and hope that it will get resolved eventually, and that we are storing the waste safely. We have just recently invested another $250 million in cement cask and all the engineering required with that. So it is our hope that the federal government is going to fulfill their duty. But before they move on to something else and essentially tell everyone that it's worse than nuclear waste, you know, by default. Let's take care of this other promise that government made. If the president really has this moral obligation that he talked about yesterday to do the right thing, let's do that first, and then we'll deal with carbon.
Kurt Eversbach.
Well, nuclear waste is not threatening our coastlines. It's not threatening our agricultural system. It's not threatening people's lives through the heat increases that are expected from climate change. It's not threatening people through the air that we breathe. So I respectfully disagree with the commissioner that carbon dioxide pollution is not a problem. It's a problem that the world faces, but it's also a problem for the Southeast. We're already feeling its effects, and I don't agree that we have additional time to address it. I agree with the president that we're the first generation to feel its effects, and we're the last generation that can do anything about it.
Listen to this, gentlemen, because, and I want to go back to the human factor here, because I think there are a lot of people that are concerned about that. In 2013, 57 million metric tons of carbon pollution were emitted from power plants in Georgia, equal to the yearly pollution from almost 12 million cars. That someone listening will be alarmed, because that does have a human effect. That affects the air that we breathe. And you still say that, Commissioner Echols, that maybe that priority should be sort of moved down in terms of what Georgia should do?
You know, one of the things that I preach to people that come and lecture me about carbon in my office is the need for personal responsibility. It's why I own 3 electric cars. It's why I put E85 ethanol in my Focus sitting out in this parking lot. It's why I turn my air conditions off from 3 to 8 every day. I feel like I am taking personal responsibility, and there's a lot more that people can do before we have to, I guess, pull the fire alarm and ask the federal government to come in and impose strict regulations on us. I just think that this is not the right solution at this time.
Kurt Eversbach, by the way, we're speaking with Public Service Commissioner Tim Echols and Kurt Eversbach, Senior Attorney at the Southern Environmental Law Center. Let me just turn the regulation question that I asked the commissioner on its head, because I asked him, look, don't regulations actually, aren't they necessary sometimes to inspire more healthy conduct? Let me turn it around. If we've seen Georgia make the kind of progress that even environmental advocates are arguing it's made, and they're arguing it as a way to say, yeah, Georgia can meet the standards, if that's what's happening, why does Georgia need regulations? Won't it actually accomplish the goals that the president set on its own, in its own way?
Well, the reason there's a clean power plan is because this is a national problem, and we have to address it as a nation. But again, what the plan does is it allows states to make their own decisions about their energy future. And Georgia, as it happens, under the commissioner's leadership and the leadership of the Public Service Commission, has already made a number of great decisions. And so we are well poised to meet this goal with or without the Clean Power Plan. In fact, we may even exceed it.
So would you be okay if Georgia said, look, we're already meeting it on our own, we're just going to ignore it?
Well, they could write a plan that says that, and I believe EPA would approve it, because we are doing great things, and we just need to continue along the trajectory that we've already been following.
And frankly, I'm not really comfortable not writing a plan. You know, as much as I'm objecting to this right now, and I'll have an op-ed in the Atlanta Business Chronicle on Friday about this, I do think we need to get on to the business of writing the compliance plan. And that's why Judd Turner and all these other agencies that are mentioned are so important, and we're going to begin doing that almost immediately. And if the governor and the attorney general decides to file a lawsuit, then they do that, and it is my hope that it would be given a stay, the rule, but I'm not hopeful that it's going to be stopped.
The term that is highly debated, we know about this, global warming. So, Kurt, I'll ask you this, and Commissioner Echols, you can surely chime in. Will these rules really stop global warming?
These rules are necessary for the United States to show leadership on climate change. Without the United States showing leadership, we won't have any progress around the globe in terms of China, India, other countries that are major emitters. They're not going to do anything if the United States doesn't lead. The United States has always led on difficult questions that the planet faces, and we need to do so here.
Commissioner Echols?
you know, this sounds awfully lot like the German experiment that they've been doing. So my guess is that India and China and other countries, they're going to smile and nod at the president, but then they're going to spend billions buying the very coal that we have, and they're going to burn it like the Germans are doing now in Hamburg. They're building new coal. China's building lots of coal plants. So I don't know that we're going to have the influence with them that we really think.
We'd like to take more time on this, but we're out of it. Public Service Commission member Tim Echols, Kurt Ebersbach, senior attorney at the Southern Environmental Law Center. Obviously, this is a long-term proposition.
Yes.
We'll check back with both of you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you.